You know where. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thankfully, we're just about done with the last days according to Paul. We'll go ahead and read starting in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We covered last week fierce and despisers of those that are good, and we're here where it said, it talks about traitors. Of course, it has reference to betrayal, and it really is prevalent in our present day world, and it goes all across nearly every niche of society. There is betrayal in homes where husbands and wives betray their marriage vows. They dishonor them, and they go against what the Scripture teaches. Sadly, there's betrayal in our society, in our political realm. You know, you elect people to office, and they betray the trust of those who voted them in. They expose ideologies that are contrary to God, contrary to the Constitution, and then they justify everything that they're doing. This is where we are. And it's not just in the United States. It's all across the world. I mean, you could never convince me that somebody would actually vote for Justin Trudeau. All right? The Canadian commie. He is just as Marxist as they come, and tyrannical. But I'm sure that when he was campaigning, he probably presented himself as somewhat moderate. But loyalty, patriotism, friendship are almost looked upon as relics of a bygone age in this traitorous society. And as I was thinking about this, remember, the last days started with the first advent of Jesus Christ, when He was manifest, when He came into this world. And consider the fact that one of the original 12 disciples of Christ, who walked with the Lord, who witnessed His miracles, who heard His powerful teaching and preaching, saw Him walk on water, saw Him feed multitudes of people on different occasions, saw Him touch lepers and heal them, open the eyes of the blind, raise the dead. Yet He betrayed Him. Judas Iscariot was a traitor. Nobody names their kids Judas Iscariot. because he's infamous as a traitor. He did not merely walk away from following the Lord. No, he went beyond that. He actively conspired and led the authorities to Jesus, and he told them, "The one whom I kiss is the..." He betrayed him with a kiss. This is how evil betrayal really is. What treachery. You know, I often think about Judas. He saw all of that, and he was even considered one of the disciples, but he wasn't saved. In fact, Jesus, if you read John 13, it says that he was a devil from the beginning. In the providence of God, Jesus knew everything that was going on. When Judas betrayed him, it didn't come as a surprise to Jesus. Now, it did to the rest of the disciples, because he had put up a pretty good front. He acted pretty spiritual. He was the treasurer. No offense, Ron. Of the church. And yet, he betrayed the Lord. I've often thought, we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that he was God manifest in the flesh. But I don't think we ever consider very often his emotional process. He was a human being. He was a man. He was all God and all man in the hypostatic union. The mystery, it's the mystery of godliness. Can you imagine how this betrayal by Judas Iscariot must have hurt the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? He felt the pain of betrayal. And then not long after that, he knew what was coming, but I still don't think that it tempered the emotional trauma of having the most brave disciple say, "I don't even know him." That's what Peter did. He denied the Lord. And all the disciples forsook him. It wasn't just Peter. Our Lord bore that emotional pain of being betrayed by the people who were closest to Him. Now, Judas, he was troubled over his sin. We just lost our feed here. Judas, he was troubled over his sin. And you know what happened? He went to the high priest and said, "You know, I'm reconsidering it." They said, "Too bad." He wanted to give back the 30 pieces of silver. And you know what happened? He was so distraught, he went out and hung himself. Judas was lost. He was not saved. He went to his own place. He's been in hell now for 2,000 years. But I find it interesting that when Peter, who had denied the Lord three times, when he got convicted, when the Lord got eye contact with Peter, he went out and wept bitterly. And I don't know if it was Spurgeon or somebody said, Judas Iscariot went to the wrong priest. he went to the Jewish authorities, whereas Peter had a connection with the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the Lord restored him and granted him grace and strength, became one of the greatest preachers and apostles that we know of. Peter did. And I thought, how many people who say that they're saved by grace in our religious world betray the Lord daily? By their words, by their actions, by their deeds. Oh, that God would keep us from any form of betrayal in our homes, our churches, the workplace. Because there's too much of it in our world today. We need to be faithful pillars in the house of our God. How do we counteract that spirit of betrayal and treachery? By serving the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." Don't quit. Be faithful. Don't go back on the profession of your faith. Prove it daily by serving the Lord, by worshiping the Lord, by witnessing for the Lord. The Bible gives us an exhortation in Hebrews chapter 10, if you'll turn there. This is the way you counteract treachery and betrayal and unfaithfulness in our society, in our world. Hebrews 10, verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Now notice the instruction here. Let us, those who have been washed in the blood, whose conscience has been purged by the blood of Jesus Christ, who are washed with the water of the Word of God, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. The day is coming. Let's prove the profession of our faith. Let's make that our mission in life. Let's be faithful to God, faithful in our homes, faithful in God's house. That's how you counteract this spirit of treachery and betrayal. May God help us to have the same kind of attitude, the same passion as the Apostle Paul. Everybody ought to read Philippians 3. You ought to read the whole Bible. Philippians 3 is such a powerful place where Paul talks about, even though he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he was respected among the Jewish community as a religious leader. He counted everything but dung, refuse, that he might win Christ. But here's what he said in verse 13 and 14. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep pressing toward the mark. You've been called to follow Jesus. Don't let anyone or anything get in your way. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Stay faithful to God. That's how you break the bonds of treachery and betrayal. You got to be faithful. You know, there's rewards for faithfulness. As you study your Bible, it's accounted of stewards that a man be found faithful. God's entrusted all of us with so much grace. And we're to take what He's given and use it for His glory. Now I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these because I've gone to seed on this passage. And we've got to get through it or people are going to leave the church. I don't know if they are or not, but this is what happens to me. I get into something and it gets a hold of me. And it just, I got to keep thinking about it and thinking about it. And the more I think about it, the more I want to give, just keep on preaching on it. So I'm gonna crucify my flesh today. Let's go to the next one. And these really are connected, where it says, traitors, heady, high-minded. Heady and high-minded. The idea expressed is a growing carelessness with reference to other people. We're living in a time when people do whatever they please. What they want, when they want, how they want it. It's all about me, me, me. It's selfishness, self-indulgence. They're heady. People do things and we do things without realizing how it's going to influence and impact others. I mean, think about some of the things that goes on in our society. In the month of June, what they call Pride Month. Some of the most wicked, ungodly, and lewd things were on public display in the streets of our cities. And they wantonly, brazenly wanted to influence others for evil in what they did in the gay pride parades and so on. That influences kids. Heady. There's little or no regard for decency or the feelings of others. And then high-minded. People today are characterized, and this is really true. In fact, it's true about you. It's true about me. Many of us are puffed up, conceited, and vain. There's very little humility prevailing in our society today. In our world today, all across the world. Man is full of himself. Think about some of the schemes that people have come up with. Man actually thinks that he can outdo God. And It's insane when you think about how high-minded people are, how arrogant. People think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. And that's true of all of us. Tell you what, if you really knew the sins that are in your heart, if you knew the depths of them and you understood the severity of the punishment you deserve, you would walk humbly with God every day. There wouldn't be a self-righteous bone in your body. If you really understood our sinful tendencies, our nature to sin, and how it offends God, how it's contrary to His holiness and His purity. And yet we're high-minded. We often want to take credit for things that we do, when in reality, it's all of grace. Not just salvation, but everything you have. Your health, your strength, the roof over your head, the family that you enjoy, the food that God provides, every bit of it traces back to the throne of God. Whether it's in the social, the educational, the religious, or political arena, people are increasingly becoming more vain and conceited. And when you throw in social media, I mean, really, social media is, whether it's, I can't name them all anymore. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Rumble, True Social. I mean, it's just everything. All kinds of stuff. And a lot of it is geared toward... There's another one called TikTok that they people are called influencers. And I mean like 19-year-old girls who tell people how to put their makeup on are making millions of dollars as TikTok influencers. Is that unreal? In our world? But it's all about, I want all eyes on me. And a lot of time, when I first got on Facebook, somebody posts something theological and I thought it was my responsibility to refute them. I didn't understand the social norms of Facebook. So I would enter into a knockdown, drag out theological warfare. And somebody would say, brother, we're not getting into that. Oh, sorry. Yeah. And then I learned that most people are lying. You know? I didn't know there's such things as, I think they're filters. They can make your face look so pretty. Well, obviously, I've never figured that one out. But the fact is, a lot of what goes on, all about me, me, me. Heady, high-minded, conceit. There is more self-promotion and self-exaltation of individuals in our world today than there has ever been. Heady, high-minded. And you know that's completely contrary to the way we're to live. You know what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5? And verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him. For He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And you know how the devil wants people to exalt themselves rather than God? It's how he devours a lot of people. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Be clothed with humility. That's how you counteract this spirit. And if you do, if you put something on Facebook, give God the glory. Thank God for the blessings that He has given you. Give God the credit. Give Him the honor in the way you live your life. So don't be a traitor to the Lord. Don't betray His cause by the way you live your life. Don't be heady. Don't be just concerned about yourself and no one else. And don't be high-minded, arrogant, filled with pride. Well, at least we got three of them done today. Next Sunday, we are actually going to finish this passage in chapter 3. I'll be here next Sunday morning, God willing. This is out of battery, too. Everything technical is malfunctioning today.
Page number 6.
You say, why do you stop?